Like several of the other sexually abused girls in the study, she became so agitated that we had to stop. A 7-year-old girl from the control group picked up the wistful mood of the picture. Her story was about a widowed lady, sadly looking out the window, missing her husband. But in the end, the lady found a loving man to be a good father to her baby. In card after card, we saw that, despite their alertness to trouble, the children who had not been abused still trusted in an essentially benign universe. They could imagine ways out of bad situations. They seemed to feel protected and safe within their own families. They also felt loved by at least one of their parents, which seemed to make a substantial difference in their eagerness to engage in schoolwork and to learn. The responses of the clinic children were alarming. The most innocent images stirred up intense feelings of danger, aggression, sexual arousal, and terror. We had not selected these photos because they had some hidden meaning that sensitive people could uncover. They were ordinary images of everyday life. We could only conclude that for abused children, the whole world is filled with triggers. As long as they can imagine only disastrous outcomes to relatively benign situations, anybody walking into a room, any stranger, any image on a screen or on a billboard might be perceived as a harbinger of catastrophe. In this light, the bizarre behavior of the kids at the children's clinic made perfect sense. To my amazement, staff discussions on the unit rarely mentioned the horrific real-life experiences of the children and the impact of those traumas on their feelings, thinking, and self-regulation. Instead, their medical records were filled with diagnostic labels: conduct disorder, or oppositional defiant disorder for the angry and rebellious kids, or bipolar disorder. ADHD was a comorbid diagnosis for almost all. Was the underlying trauma being obscured by this blizzard of diagnoses? Now we faced two big challenges. One was to learn whether the different worldview of normal children could account for their resilience and, on a deeper level, how each child actually creates her map of the world. The other, equally crucial, question was, is it possible to help the minds and brains of brutalized children to redraw their inner maps and incorporate a sense of trust and confidence in the future?